for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2010 Labor Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the Friday afternoon 1:15 Ladies Meeting, September the 3rd, 2010. Joey McGee is the speaker of this service teaching on overcoming fear.
Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you and praise you for the privilege of standing before your children. We thank you, Lord, that you are a mighty God. Lord, we ask you to cover this place with the blood of Jesus. We pray a wall of fire, a hedge of protection. You're warring angels around this camp, around Patty, Linda, Rhonda, Mari, Rick, Sylvia, Glenn, Don, Ada, Tom, Diane, Richard, Mara, every person at this camp and everything that concerns us at home, Lord. Father, we ask you to take care of our properties, take care of our animals. Lord, just take control of everything. We thank you that you're our hope. We thank you that you're our joy. We thank you that you're our life. We thank you, Lord, for the purpose you've given us to live for you. God, we just praise you and bless you. We ask you, Lord, to station angels all over this property, all over our properties at home. Father, we thank you that Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places are bound from this place, from our houses, lands, homes, children, relationships, and everything that concerns us, our businesses, our jobs. Father, we bless the saints all over this land. Bless us with wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, might, excellence, and the fear of the Lord. And Lord, you haven't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And Lord, I just ask that I be a conduit from your throne to the hearts of your people. And Lord, I just ask that you let my words be like goads, like well-driven nails given by you, the shepherd, to target every heart. Father, I bless the eyes of every person, that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened, that we'll know what is the hope of our calling, what is the height, width, length, and depth of your love toward us. Lord, bless us with ears to hear, dig out, excavate, and irrigate our ears. And Lord, if you don't take this word and anoint it, it'll be just a bunch of words and nothing will happen. And God, we thank you that it's your word that changes lives, Lord. You sent your word to heal us. Thank you that the leaf withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever in eternity. And we thank you, Lord. We make a fresh new commitment to you today, Lord, to be your possession. And we just bind every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. We bind and break every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, ritual spoken over this place. Spoken over Patty and Linda and Kevin and Rhonda and Mari and Rick and all the workers at this camp, Don and Ada. We just break the power of every curse, every ritual that's been sent against us. And Lord, we bless those that curse us in the name of Jesus. Well, today I just feel like that I want to share on fear. And hopefully tomorrow at 3, I'm going to share on a message that really has changed my life. But I wanted to speak to the men, too, because they need to hear it, too. It's changed my life, and I know it's changed my life forever. And but today I want to talk about fear. You know, never before in the history of America has there been more things that would make us fearful. Recently, the Lord showed me that all these hairy emails we get that just will curl your hair. How many of you have got some of them that we're going to be put in a concentration camp and Martian law is going to be declared? And I'm not saying that's not going to happen. I'm not saying that. But the Lord showed me that Satan is in charge. He's the prince of the power of the air. So what's coming across the news media and what's coming through the internet is instigated by the Illuminati, which is the highest up satanic group in the world. And I just now realized that when I send out little daily thoughts of encouragement, and I came across a little icon that said the Illuminati fear. And I thought, you know what? They're generating this stuff to put fear on Christians so we'll repeat what they say. Oh, and it's Goliath. It's like we think Goliath is gone, but he's still speaking to us through the news media. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to this. I'm going to that. And we go, oh, he's going to kill us. And we get kicked out of our position in the heavenly places, and we don't take dominion. The Bible says that we've been raised to sit with Christ in heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. James 4:7 says, submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he has to flee. And now, I mean, I have been through all of these scenarios. I mean, I've got emails that I'm telling you for 3 hours I was like, oh, God, just to put fear. And then I send it out, and I fell into that trap. And now I get one, I delete it, Goliath. I delete it, Goliath. And I quit listening to the news media. And you say, well, how can you know there's conservative on one side and there's liberal on the other side? So why is there conservative and liberal? Because the devil loves the fight. He loves to stir mess, and he loves to stir strife. And, you know, I agree. You know, I'm not in the Tea Party, and I'm not against the Tea Party. I thank God there's people that are going to do something. God calls each one of us different. But do you think for 1 minute that they would let Glenn Beck, the One World Order owns the liberal and the conservative stations, do you think for 1 minute they would let Glenn Beck do what he's doing if they did not have an agenda behind it? And I have a precious sister that goes to those meetings and tells me how wonderful they are. And I don't doubt it, because if you said, what does he believe in this other than being a Mormon, I would totally agree with what. But they're stirring mess. They're trying to get there to be civil war here in America. They're behind the border fighting. They're instigating that. If you've ever listened to a CD, I think there was one back here by a guy named Myron somebody on the Illuminati. They have financed the One World Order, the people, the House of Rothschild, and the people behind the One World Government, which they're just Satanists. They have financed every war since the French Revolution, both sides. They started the NAACP to get blacks and whites to fight. They're behind all this stirring of terrorism and all this stuff because they do this and then they can pass another law. Anyway, all of that is Goliath. We've been raised to sit with Christ in heavenly places far above principalities and powers. And when we listen to that and then we repeat it, we reinforce what the devil says, put ourselves under a curse, and we have no power against the enemy. And so we're living in days. Don't listen to Goliath. David came and said, I come. How dare you, I'm paraphrasing, you stupid Philistine. He said, I come to you in the name of the commander-in-chief of all the armies of heaven. And Goliath's not dead. He's coming across the internet. He's coming across the news media. So we need to quit listening to it. But never before in the history of America has there been more things to be fearful of. But we can't give in to fear, because if we do, you see why the devil generates it? Because he wants to get you into fear. Fear is faith in what the devil says instead of faith in what God says. And so if he can get us in fear, we're powerless because we're not walking in faith. So God doesn't want us to be fearful. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. And some things I want us to see about fear today. Fear is a demon. And fear is faith in what the devil's telling you instead of faith in what the Lord's telling you. Fear is unacceptable. And, you know, every fear in our life has to be dealt with if we're going to be overcomers in Christ Jesus. There's things in our land we have to possess. You know, the children of Israel, when they went into the land, there were giants in the land. We all have giants, and wherever there's a giant, there's fear. And we've got to overcome those things. The promises of God are to the overcomer. And we all have things to overcome. And none of us have come to the place where we don't have something to overcome. And we'll quit overcoming when we get to heaven. Amen? Bless the Lord. How many of you feel like you're an overcomer? Yes, God says you are always triumphing in Jesus' name. You're more than a conqueror through him that loved you. And some of you are listening to a demon that you know that you're hopeless. No, you're not. The fact you want God proves you're not hopeless. People that are hopeless don't want him. But as long as you want him and you're seeking after him and you're submitting to everything you know, hey, God's pleased. And the Bible says he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God will abide under the shadow and protection of the Almighty. If you've got your Bibles, I want you to go to Job 28. And Job 28 talks about wisdom, walk in the way of wisdom. Job 28, verse 1. He's describing wisdom. Surely there's a mine for silver and a place where they refine gold. Iron is taken from the dust, and from a rock copper is smelted. Man puts an end to darkness, and to the farthest limit he searches out the rock in gloom and deep shadow. He sinks his shaft far from habitation, forgotten by the foot. They hang and swing to and fro far from men. The earth from it comes food, and underneath it is turned up as fire. Its rocks are the source of sapphires, and its dust contains gold. Now, speaking of wisdom here, and this is a verse that I want you to pay attention to. The path of wisdom, no bird of prey knows. Now, the bird of prey is a type and shadow of a demon in Satan. So if we're walking the way of wisdom, it's saying that no demon knows where you are. Glory to God. Colossians says you're hidden with God in Christ. Does the word say that? That you're hidden. We are the hidden ones. You've heard stories about Brother Andrew smuggling Bibles across the border and they didn't even see him. I believe that if we're walking in the light as Jesus is in the light, not only do we have fellowship with one another, but the light blinds the enemy. The Bible tells us to put on the armor of light. Have you ever seen one of those huge spotlights that shine in the heavens? Y'all know what I'm talking about. If you looked in one of those, it would blind you and you couldn't see what was behind it. Is that right? The more you walk in repentance, the brighter the light in your life becomes. In Matthew, I believe Matthew 10, it says, the righteous at the end of the age will shine forth like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Jesus said he was the light, but then he told the disciples in Matthew, he said, you are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify my Father who's in heaven. And if you're like me, you're always getting these emails telling you to come to some glory explosion or some glory meeting where you get the glory. Can I tell you, no man can give you glory? No man can give you what only God can give you. In Matthew 6, it says, if your eye is clear, meaning unadulterated, meaning you have no idols, your whole body is full of light. But he said, if your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. And so when you walk in repentance is a walk, a daily walk. And what Patty said last night about sin and demons is totally correct. The more sin you repent of, the less demons you're going to have. Demons are in people's lives because of sin. And what is so sad is there's very few churches teaching people to deal with their sin. Very few are even teaching the Word of God. And I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just telling you, it's the times we're living in. There's a great falling away of the faith. Now, if this was a glory meeting or one of these that are touting glory, you'd have people hanging from the chandeliers around here. Or if dough dust was falling or feathers or some other stuff. The other day, Missy Burton sent me a DVD of one of these ministers that's supposed to be touting revival. She sent me a DVD, and this lady, and I don't even want to mention the names, but she was in Houston, and Missy sent me the DVD, and I watched 5 minutes of the ridiculous behavior and turned it off. She was going, whoa. And I've written a book on drunkenness. Is it a blessing or a curse? And I can tell you, it's a judgment God pours on the harlot. You don't have to be in a fake revival to have it. If you're committing spiritual adultery against your bridegroom Jesus, I can tell you, in varying degrees, you are have a spiritual drunk. But anyway, I watched it for about 5 minutes, and I emailed the man, dear godly man that ordained me. He's fixing to have her in his church. And I said, this lady is a demonic nutcase. And bless his heart, he emailed me back and rebuked me for calling her a demonic nutcase. Don't you know the fear of God? And if I didn't know it wasn't the Lord, I tell you, I fear God too much. And I shouldn't have called her a demonic nutcase. I should have called her a spiritual drunk, because that's what the Bible calls her. But it's the times we're living in. The lady was swaying back and forth. You know, the Holy Spirit doesn't get you to hopping, skipping, twitching, jerking, trembling, screaming hysterically. The Holy Spirit, wherever the Holy Spirit is, your life will produce love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And anyway... The Bible says in the latter times, men will fall away from the faith and give heed to doctrines of demons and seducing spirits. And I see that happen right now. I see it happening in my meetings. But God says you'll be my spokesman if you separate the holy from the profane. And I don't see that happening in a lot of places. And if you know a place where that's happening, you need to join that church if it's in your city. To separate the holy from the profane. And in Ezekiel 44, it says God leaves in certain kinds of priests for people that want their ears tickled. And but the sons of Zadok are the ones that minister in God's house, and they separate the holy from the profane. And because the holy and the profane is not being separated today in the church is sick, full of demons, and not walk in the way of wisdom. Okay, here it says in Job 28, if I'm walking the way of wisdom, no bird of prey knows where I'm at. Glory to God. If my eyes clear, my body's full of light, I have on the armor of light. And the more I repent, the more light I get and the less darkness. If you had a vessel full of darkness, for example, If this was, of course, this would be, say this was dark colored water. Every time you would repent, you could pour out a little dark and add a little clear. Pour out dark and add clear. And eventually, it'd be full of light, wouldn't it? And see, the more you repent, every time you confess your sins, God will take out some darkness and put in some light. And the more you repent, the brighter the light. And all of us have got so many things in our life, myself included, that God wants to take out of us. Recently, and we all have difficult people in our life. And recently, the Lord showed me this person that has been the most difficult person in my life. The Lord showed me she's just like my mother. And a lot of times, God's trying to mirror through those difficult people what he wants to change in you. I have a friend that for 30 years I've known her. She's lived in a situation with a man, and I've had to confess and forgive him over and over and over for the way he treats my friend. And it hit me last week at a prayer meeting. God's got that man in her life to break the power of fear over her life. Lots of fear. God, you can't keep fear in your life and please God. We just think, well, you know, that's just the way we are. When the Bible says over 344 places, it says words like, fear not. God's not giving you a spirit of fear. And so we have to deal with fear. Okay, keep reading in Job 28. It says, the path, this path of wisdom, no bird of prey knows, nor has the falcon's eye caught sight of it. The proud beast have not trodden it, nor has the fierce lion passed over it. He puts his hand on the flint. He overturns the mountains at the base. He hews out channels through the rocks, and his eye sees anything precious. He dams up the stream from flowing, and what is hidden he brings out into the light. The Bible says the time is coming when everything that's been hidden in darkness will be brought to the light. But where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the lands of the living. The deep says, it's not with me. And the sea says, it's not with me. Pure gold cannot be given in exchange for it, nor can silver be weighted out at its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, in precious onyx or sapphire. Gold or glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for articles of fine gold. Coral and crystals are not to be mentioned, and the acquisition of wisdom is above that of pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold. It's greater than pure gold. Where then can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Thus is hidden from the eyes of all living. And now that's encouraging when you're living in a world that's planning for a one world order. The way of wisdom is hidden from all the eyes of the living. Glory to God. That encourages me. It says, and concealed from the birds of the sky, which is the type and shadow of the powers of darkness. You know, in the parable of the sower, when the sower goes out and he sows some seed beside the road and the bird comes and gets it. And then later Jesus explains that parable and he says that Satan comes and steals the word. That's a person that hears the word, I don't believe it, or I don't understand it, and the enemy steals it. And then it talks about the seed that's sown on hard ground. The minute the sun hits it, which represents the circumstances of life, he gives up, quits, bails out, withers away, doesn't produce fruit. And then the third type of soil is the seed that's sown among thorns, where the words, the world's, the cares, the riches and cares of the world choke out the word so it can't produce. And it talks about that good sandy loam soil that produces fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. And that's a whole different teaching, but you could do a word study on soil and land, because 1 Corinthians 3:9 says you're a building, you're a house, and you're a field, you're land. And so the birds of the air are types and shadows of the powers of darkness, depending on how it's used. And it says in verse 22, thus it's hidden, wisdom, from all the eyes of the living and concealed from the birds of the sky. Abaddon and death say, with our ears we've heard a report of it. In other words, the devil and his demons say, well, we've heard about it, but we don't know where it is. God understands its way, and he knows its place, and it's a gift from him. For he looks to the ends of the earth and sees everything under the heavens. When he, God, imparted weights to the wind and meted out the waters by measure, when he set a limit for the rain and a course for the thunderbolt, then he saw it and he declared it. He established it and also searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil, that is understanding. Hallelujah. Understanding is the truth that sets you free. God says through knowledge, power is increased. The more knowledge of God's word you have, the more power you'll have. And you're not going to find it in a meeting. Many places people are having demons imparted to them. And so God says here in Job 28 that if you walk the way of the wisdom, no demon can even see you because they don't know that path. Glory to God. And then Isaiah 35 says that there's a highway of holiness and no lion can get on it, which means no demon can get on it. No fool can walk on it, but only the redeemed of the Lord can walk on that pathway. One false prophet in Texas, when I rebuked him for his prophecy that he said that God was raising up a highway and the fools could, sinners could get on it. I emailed him and I said, sir, that is an error. I said, you're leading a lot of people astray. He said, he may be back. He said, I'm taking you off my email list because you don't understand. When they get on the highway, they might change. I said, that's heresy. Know the word of God in the days you're living in, because if you don't, you won't know how to separate the holy from the profane. And so Isaiah 35 says, no sinner, no fool, no lion can get on the highway of holiness. In Proverbs, it says that the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. When we depart from, every time we depart from evil, that keeps us on the highway of holiness. Every time we say no to what we want and yes to what God wants, that puts us and keeps us on the highway of holiness. Glory to God. That's encouraging. Another thing you need to see about fear is that it's a sin. It's not to be excused that, oh, you know, I've just always had a fear problem. I've always been a worrywart. I've always been anxious. And so many times, if children grow up in homes where they don't have a safe daddy, they're full of fear. When a child grows up and he grows up protected, he doesn't have as much fear. I think everybody in areas will have fear when they don't, maybe they don't even see it or don't even know they have it. But wherever a child grows up, and if the mother and daddy are fearful, if the mother and daddy are worrywarts, if the children aren't protected, that opens us up to fear. Fear can come in generationally. It comes in through the occult. If there's occult forefathers, occult, if you've been in the occult, it can open you up to fear. And fear is rooted in idolatry. And behind every idol, there's fear. The Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry. So every sin is idolatry. Go to Deuteronomy 32, please. In Deuteronomy 32, it talks about Jezreel, which is another word for Israel. It means the people of God. It means the upright one. It talks about Jezreel grew fat and kicked. It means that his heart became so callous that he couldn't hear God, and he hardened his heart. And that's one of the roots to cataracts, because if your heart gets calloused, it's like a callus over your heart, and your heart and eyes are tied together. That's one of the roots of cataracts. It says they made him jealous in verse 16 with strange gods. With abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed the demons who were not God to gods who came lately. And you can put Revelation 9:20 there that says when you worship idols, you worship demons. And then you see, and because God gets angry because of their idolatry, he turns them over to jealousy in verse 21. Verse 21, he turns them over to anger. He turns them over to hunger in to misfortunes in verse 23. He turns them over to famine, which means hunger, in verse 24. And he turns them over to terror. Turns them over to famine in verse 24, which means hunger. And that could be one of the roots to why we're hungry all the time. The Lord's worked in my life to where, in the earlier years when I was 25 years old, I'd bake a cake and I would think, well, you know, I'd bake this for my family. And I'd eat a little slice and then I'd walk around the corner and think, you know, I cut that crooked. I need to cut me a bigger slice. And then I'd walk around and think, well, you know, I need to even that up some more. And I'd end up eating the whole cake. And I've just been amazed how I rarely ever even crave sweets anymore. And I used to call myself a sugarholic, a chocoholic, but not anymore. God's worked in my life, and it's taken many, 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 many years. And what I want to share tomorrow at 3 o'clock, I believe, is the finishing touches on that whole scenario. Bless the Lord. God is so good. And in verse 25, it says, outside the sword shall bereave and inside terror. So those things are fruits of idolatry. And terror is a stronger word for fear. It means to be overcome by fear. Okay, fear is the opposite of faith. Fear at its root is a spiritual problem. Is faith in what the devil tells you. Fear, like faith, demands a response. You know, Job said, what I fear comes upon me and what I dreaded befell me. You see why every fear in your life has to be overcome? Because if what you fear comes upon you. And I hopefully in this message that God's going to show you how to overcome fear. Just hearing a message on fear, you need to know how to overcome it, right? Fear has torment. Go to 1 John 4:18. It says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love. Well, how God showed me how to overcome fear was one day when my son was living a homosexual lifestyle. I had just seen a documentary on crack. Now, my son never got on drugs, thank God. But I was driving along, and I went, what if he takes crack? And it was like the Spirit of God just led me to say, but Lord, if that's the only way he can know you, I ask you in the name of Jesus to let him take crack. But Satan, you can't touch him in the name of Jesus. You know, sometimes God uses your problems to bring you to the end of yourself. And it took AIDS to bring the boy to salvation. They asked him on his deathbed if he could have one thing, what would it be? And he said, salvation is enough. He separated from all of his friends. He sent back gifts and pictures and got rid of everything they had given him, broke soul ties. And they asked him what his favorite verse was, and he said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. It was good that I was afflicted, because now I keep his word. So it took that dreaded disease to bring him to repentance, and I'll see him again in heaven. And even though I miss him, if God allows, after I throw my crowns, if God gives me the grace to have any crowns to throw at the feet of Jesus and I get through worshiping the Lord, I just would delight to see my son again. And I thank the Lord that he came to the Lord. I prayed for him for 20 years, so don't give up. Don't stop praying. I was sharing earlier with somebody, sometimes your kids are doing the kids you want to change are doing the same things you used to do. And you've got to confess everything you ever did, and God's letting your kids reflect what you did. And, of course, I've never been into homosexuality, but homosexuality ran in his daddy's family. His daddy's brother was a homosexual. He had two cousins that were homosexual. And he had a great uncle that was a homosexual. And the sins of the fathers go on to the children of the third and fourth generation. He got other things down from my side of the bloodline, but that came down through his daddy's bloodline. And so fear has torment. And so God showed me, if the Bible says, for this is the confidence you can have toward me, God says, if you ask anything according to my will, I hear you, and if I hear you, you already have what you asked for. Is it God's will that he be glorified? Are you living for God's glory? If you're living for God's glory, that's good news. Lord, you hear what the devil's telling me? Lord, if it'll bring you greater glory and honor for that to happen, then let it happen. But devil, you are bound from me, because I am in God's hands. Now, if you don't have fear, you have not because you ask not. But you know, fear can so paralyze you that you feel like you're going to have a heart attack. In fact, in the last days, that'll be the number one killer of people. Men's hearts will fail them because of fear. And so make an altar to the Lord like Abraham did Isaac. He made a sacrifice, didn't he, of his only son. And that was a picture of God sacrificing his son for your sin and for my sin. And you see, that's the perfect love that casts out fear. If I can pray that way and really mean it, you may have to pray that way three or four times before you really mean it. I've had in some areas. But I can tell you, I don't live in fear. If fear props up, I say, okay, Lord, where'd that come from? Lord, you hear what the devil's telling me? Satan, you can't touch me in the name of Jesus. My life is submitted with God, and if that'll bring him greater glory, then so be it. And you can know God's going to answer that prayer. And you know what? When you see fear coming, you can make an altar and to God and say, Lord, you hear what the devil's telling me? So be it. And you can just see that fear go this way. Bill Gothard says the way you overcome fear, he gives an illustration of a lion, an old lion that's roaring. How many of you have been to Bill Gothard's seminar? He gives an illustration of a lion that's roaring, an old lion that's toothless, that can't do anything. And that's what we hear today through the news media and through the internet, a roaring lion. And in this illustration, he gives this picture that the old lion, what he does is he chases the little gazelle or the prey. He roars and the prey runs into the jungle where the young lions kill him. And then the old lion goes in and has a share of the spoil. And so Bill Gothard says the way you break fear is instead of running from the roar into the woods where the enemy gets you, you run into the roar. Call the devil's bluff. And that will disarm fear. Now, you may have another way, but I can tell you that works if you'll make an altar and you really mean it. Because behind every fear is idolatry. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. So when I can pray that way, I'm saying, Lord, I trust you so much with Jerry McGee's life that you know what I need. You know if I need it. You know what I need. You know who I need. And you know when to give it to me if I need it. I remember my son died at home. He didn't die in a hospital. He died at home, pain-free, and he died drug-free. A week before he died, a hospice nurse came out because he got to the place where we couldn't lift him anymore. And she brought us a hospital bed. And she said, what kind of pain medicine is he on? And I said, he's not on anything. And she said, that's a miracle. She said, homosexuals with AIDS die such a tormenting death that even with morphine, they have to tie him to the bed. So I didn't want him to suffer, so I got morphine from the doctor. I found a Christian doctor that says, I don't know anything about AIDS, but I know how to pray. So he gave him morphine. He gave it to me, the prescription. I had it filled. And the day before he died, I said, son, does anything hurt you? And he said, no, Mom. And I poured all that morphine down the toilet. He never had a drop of it. Died totally pain-free. His testicles were this big. He had torn places around. He had herpes lesions around his rectum that looked like you'd tore the hide. His feet were from 10.5, went to 13. He weighed about 80 pounds. He looked like a Holocaust victim. He had modeled in New York City. He was so handsome, but he looked like a 90-year-old Holocaust victim. He went blind in his eye from looking at pornography. He had Kaposi sarcoma, which is cancer of the small blood vessels. He had to wear a diaper. Had a continuous cough, and a month before he died, he said, Mother, he said, do you think I'll have to suffer before I die? I said, son, if you don't think you're suffering now, I don't think you're going to have to suffer anymore, and you have to suffer than you're suffering right now. I mean, I couldn't believe he even said that. He died in total peace, gasping for breath, but not panicked and not frantic, not beating the air. We were singing to him when he died. He is our peace. He has broken down every wall. He is our peace. He is our peace. That's what we were singing to him. And he's in heaven today. And perfect love casts out fear. It was a hard time. I lost my train of thought. Why did I share with you about my son? Lord, bring it back if it's important. But perfect love casts out fear. When I can give everything, everybody, everything I have to the Lord as a sacrifice, that's the perfect love that casts out fear. Because God knows what you need, who you need, when you need it, and if you need it, when to give it to you. And there's no fear because it's God's agenda and not yours. I've spent most of my life telling God what I wanted him to do. How many of you can say you're like me? My whole prayer life has changed. I just name everybody in the world and throw my name in there and start blessing us with scripture. Lord, I bless us that we'll present our body, and that includes all the members of the One World Order, all the members, all the terrorists, all the Islamic people, all the kings, rulers, presidents, the Senate, the House, evil people, the Ku Klux Klan, the Masons, the Mafia, the prostitutes, rapists, and everything the Lord shows me. And then I say, Lord, I put my name in there. And I thank you that you're not willing that any of us should perish, but that all might come to repentance. And Lord, I bless us that we'll present our body to you as a living sacrifice. Lord, I bless us that we'll deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow you. I bless us according to Job 22 that you said if we lay our gold in the dust and remember the Almighty is our goal, we can decree a thing and those who do not deserve to be saved will be saved by the cleanness of our hands. And so I decree salvation to each of these people. And Lord, you said you look for a man to make up the hedge and stand in the gap for the land, and you couldn't find any. Lord, I'm willing. I don't know how to do that. But Lord, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And when I hear a negative report, it's Goliath. I hear they're fixing to pass, recently some more stuff. God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I don't have an agenda anymore. And I'm not saying you shouldn't ask God for things. I think you should. But my prayer life has changed more. 90% of what I pray, or 95% of what I pray, is just blessing our enemies and blessing us that we will delight in the Lord, that we'll hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we'll treat others the way we want to be treated, that we'll love God with our whole heart, mind, soul, and body, and our neighbors, ourselves. And I can tell you, God's answering those prayers in some people's lives. And so since I don't have an agenda anymore, I can't tell you how that's built my faith to bless and not curse. And that's the perfect love that casts out fear. God, I trust you so much with my life that you know what I need. I'm here for you. You know, when God let you be born, he had a purpose for you. And he had a purpose for me. My purpose is not your purpose. Your purpose is not my purpose. But God has a purpose. And very few people ever live up to what God created them for. But if you stay submitted to him, you will. You can't miss him. My son's a pastor, and sometimes he feels like he's a zero. He pastors a little remnant church, just a few people. There's about five couples, and the men in our church are the most godly men. I mean, they're exceptionally godly. And usually I've been in churches, and most of the ones that were spiritual were the women. And sometimes I think he thinks he's doing something wrong, but you know, it could be because he's doing something right. Fear exposes an area of our conscience that's not clear. First, every time you have a fear, this is what I do. If the fear comes, I say, okay, Lord, how'd that get there? What do I need to lay down? What do I need to offer up to you as a sacrifice? What do I need to die to? Because Jesus said you have to give up your life that you might find it. He said if you hold on to your life, you'll lose it. It said, unless a grain of wheat, that's you, falls to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it produces much fruit. So we have to give up our life that we might find it. Deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow him. And so when we have fear, it's exposing an area of our life where our conscience is not clear. First John 3:21 says, if your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God. Hallelujah. And God taught me this when I got a crick in my back one day. And I was pastoring a church at the time. And I kept thinking, it's just a crick, it's going to work out, and it wouldn't. And somebody came and anointed me with oil, a man and a woman, and this little voice said, you're not healed. And when you hear a little voice that says you're not healed, you're not. And so the next week, I kept waiting for that crick to go out, and it didn't. So just before I was to preach that morning, I pulled up all the scriptures on back on the computer, and I repented over each one. And When I was dressing, I heard this voice say, you're healed. And my spirit man went, yes! I couldn't doubt it. I still had a crick in my back, but I was healed. I knew it. Time I got to church, it was gone. You see, when I had repented over all those scriptures, backsliding, backstabbing. The Bible says the mouth of a foolish is a rod for his back. Him who lacks understanding has a rod to his back. A whip for a donkey, a bridle for a mule, and a rod for the back of a fool. You know, if we are people, and the one that really convicted me was a rod for the mouth of the foolish is a rod for his back. And there was a time in my life that I could go out to eat with somebody, and I was running off at the mouth so much that I'd come away condemned. God's delivered me. I don't do that anymore. But anyway, when I got through repenting, I had a clear conscience. And it left. And when I got to church, the crick was gone. And so what the Lord showed me is whenever we lack faith, which is fear, it's because our conscience isn't clear. And when I confessed my sin, my conscience was clear. And see, when your conscience is clear, then God imparts faith. It's a gift. When there's fear or doubt, your conscience isn't clear. So that's just something that we have to repent over. And fear will draw things to you. For example, if you have fear, if you're afraid of dogs, I've been told that a person or a dog or an animal can smell a spirit of fear, that fear gives off an odor. And if a dog thinks you're afraid of him, he'll bite you every time. Those of you who know about dogs, you don't walk around a vicious dog with fear. Because he'll bite you. And this happened, and it was the Lord, because it was a miracle. I was, when I pastored a church, we were visiting and knocking on doors. And so I walked up this yard that had a Doberman Pinscher in the yard. Those black dogs with the tan on them, is that a Doberman? And I thought I was safe. And when I got up to the gate, that dog sailed over the fence. And I had left my little 6-year-old granddaughter in the car. He would have killed her. And a girl that had come out of Satanism, he would have killed her because she would have been afraid. And I tell you, fear started coming on me, but I knew it was like the Holy Spirit quickened to me, don't let that dog sense you're fearful. And I just made a determination in my heart, okay, dog, you're going to get the worst end of this. I mean, I was determined that I would throttle him if I had to. And I said, get away from me in the name of Jesus. And he went, no. I said, get away in the name of Jesus. He followed me all the way to the car. But I didn't show fear. And when I got in the car, I went, yeah. So I have a friend, too, that was, chiggers love me. And I live in the country, and I'm always having to put, you know, that stuff on me to keep the chiggers off. And I have a friend that's an intercessor, and we were walking down my road one day, and I said, Lori, don't get in the grass because the chiggers will get you. I said, sometimes they get me when I'm walking on the road. And she said, well, we just rebuke those chiggers in the name of Jesus. And that whole year, I never got a chigger. I'd walk through the woods and never get a chigger. I don't know what happened to me, but this year it wasn't that way. But it's like a fear of, I'm going to have a chigger, get a chigger on me. Fear causes you to bury your talent. Go to Matthew 25:18. But he who received the one talent went away and dug it in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, and this is in verse 18. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. And the one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought him 5 more talents. And you know the story. The one who had 2 talents brought him 2 more. The one who had 1 brought him 1 more. And the one that only brought him 1 talent, he said, see, when the Lord asked him why, he said, I was afraid. And went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what's yours. You gave me 1, I'm giving you 1 back. You see, and Jesus said, you wicked slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has shall more be given, and he shall have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does not have shall be taken away, and cast out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, in that place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, the one that buried the talent did it because of fear. He said, I saw you to be a hard, stiff man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So fear will block you from producing fruit, will cause you to bury your talent. And then fear of man brings a snare. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. And that comes in generationally. Those of you who have fear of man, I can just talk to you and tell you, you grew up with a parent that you were afraid of. You ever seen a dog that, or an animal that's abused? How you kick him and how he slinkers around? Children that grow up like that, it opens them up to a spirit of fear. Raging, angry parents. And then a fear of death subjects us to slavery all of our life. And Hebrews 2:15 says that Jesus delivered us at Calvary from the fear of death that subjects us to slavery our whole life. The fear of death is not only fear of giving up your life, physical death, but it's a fear of letting go of your idol. Like, for example, if your idol is caffeine or diet pills or something to keep you from alcohol, you have a fear of letting go of it, which is your life, whatever you're trusting in. And fear prevents you from giving up your life and destroys your fruitfulness, because it's only as we die. Paul said he dies daily. Fear's a curse. Go to Deuteronomy 28:66. It says, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have no assurance for your life. Go to Leviticus 26, please. If we break God's covenant, and the scripture says in Hebrews 9:6, I believe it says, unless there's a death, a covenant is not valid unless men are dead. Romans 12:1 says, present your body to God as a living sacrifice. And, of course, God doesn't want you to go out and commit suicide, but he wants you to choose against yourself. Choose his way over your way, his word over your word, his attitudes over your attitudes. Do what he wants you to do. And when we don't, we're spiritual adulterers, and we invalidate God's covenant. Verse 14, but if you do not obey me and do not carry out all these commandments, if instead you reject my statutes, and if your soul abhors my ordinances so as not to carry out all my commandments and so break my covenant, I in turn will do this to you. I will appoint over you sudden terror, which is overwhelming fear, consumption, fever that shall waste away the eyes. There's one of the roots to eye problems. And the soul shall pine away also. You shall sow your seed uselessly, for your enemy shall eat it up. And I'll set my face against you so that you shall be struck down before your enemies. And those who hate you shall rule over you. And you shall flee when no one is pursuing you. If after all these things you do not obey me, then I will punish you 7 more times for your sins. Okay, and I want you to look over in verse 36. As for those of you who are left, I will also bring weakness into their hearts in the lands of their enemies. You see a weak heart? And the sound of a driven leaf will chase them, and even when no one is pursuing them, they shall flee though from the sword, and they will fall. They will therefore stumble over each other as if running from the sword, although no one is pursuing them, and you will have no strength to stand up before your enemies. So you see how we have to keep God's covenant, because he's our covenant partner. He's going to protect us in the days we're living in. We're living in days, if you don't obey the Lord, and it's not legalism, you're legalistic if you don't obey the Lord. If rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and all iniquity is as idolatry, and it's all idolatry, all sin is idolatry, and the Bible says no idolater will enter the kingdom of heaven. And all of us have had idols. And about the time you think you're rid of your idols, God will show you something else. And then you repent of that, and then he shows you something else. You see, if he's shown you something and you're repenting and getting it right, he has great mercy on us. But when he shows us something and we don't listen, the Bible says a man who hardens his heart after much reproof shall suddenly be broken beyond remedy. And so, if we break God's covenant, we'll have so much fear on us that if we're out walking and a leaf on a bush blows and we get scared, and we're running when no one is chasing us. And you see, this comes in, if you read verse 14, through violating God's covenant. And so, pray with me right now. Lord, I forgive my forefathers for breaking covenant with you. And Lord, I broke covenant with you. And I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to show me every way that I have broke covenant with you through idolatry. See, idolatry is breaking covenant because I'm trusting another God. You say, well, I don't worship Buddha. How about you get hurt because nobody loves you? Or you get hurt because you feel rejected? Or you get angry when you don't get your way? See, anger is rooted in idolatry too. God wants us to give it all up. Let it all go. Fear is the fruit of wearing the wrong yoke. Jesus said in Matthew 11, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble. And you shall find rest for your soul, for my burden is light and my load is easy. You see, wherever I have an idol, wherever I get hurt, wherever I'm fearful, I'm not in rest. God says he will keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed upon him because you're trusting in him. Recently, I was sharing about a difficult person in my life. I was thinking, that person is so sarcastic. I've never had anybody treat me so mean in my life. Lord, what are you trying to show me? And I had been praying, Lord, when I have a difficult person, don't even let me think about the difficult person. Let me think about what you're trying to teach me through this. And what the Lord showed me is exactly like my mother. My mother slept 3 hours a night. This lady sleeps about 3 hours a night. My mother was working all the time, preoccupied. And I was interpreting this lady as rejecting me because she was always preoccupied because that was raining on my mother button. Does that make sense? And it gave me a whole new understanding of her. I think I shared this. I had a good mother, but my mother was an enabler, and she would criticize, tell my kids. This sounds like she was terrible, but she really wasn't. She would tell my kids, oh, your mother, because she enabled, I disciplined my sons. They got spankings. Oh, your mother is so mean. And I just moved away from her. And now I live in the same town with this woman. You see, God's got this woman in my life because he's trying to deal with my areas that I haven't forgiven my mother. And I've generally, like you, I've generally forgiven my mother for everything I can think of. But the Lord showed me something else I needed to forgive her for. And many times being married, 99% of the problems you have in a marriage is because you're living with your mother or daddy. You'll either marry someone just like them or you will be like them yourself. Some of you are shaking your head. It's true. If I'd have known this, I would have had a happy marriage. If I'd have known this when I was married, I'd have had a happier marriage. But I thought it was the turkey I lived with. And most of you think it's the turkey you're living with because God's just got that person in your life because he wants to fix us. And you can be swallowed up by fear. You can actually be in the belly of a demon of fear. First Peter 5:8 says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, which means drink down, gulp down, and swallow up. I used to have a ministry farm, and at this ministry farm, I housed people in their healing process. I had prostitutes. I had drug addicts. I had lazy people. In fact, most of them were all lazy. I had mentally ill. I had drug pushers, drug dealers, people from Salvation Army. Angie can tell you, she knew. She was one of the intercessors for me back, and she still prays for me. And I think we had somebody gave us a vacuum cleaner, and somebody vacuumed the dirt with it. I spent $800 on a drip system and planted 90 fruit trees on this farm, put a drip system where it always have water. They mowed the drip system in two. Fruit trees, 90 fruit trees. There's not one fruit tree to show for it because nobody took care of them. And I'd go, I can't believe, biting and devouring. I got a tooth problem, which means biting and devouring. How do I know I had one? Because when I had to have a root canal, I had a little bone cyst on my tooth. So I've learned to look up the scriptures. And I looked up the scriptures on teeth, bite, tooth. And I saw that the root of that bone cyst was biting and devouring. So I repented. And it's been probably 10 years because they say, well, bone cysts come back. Well, yeah, they come back if you don't repent. But anyway, the last time I had my teeth checked, it was not there anymore. But biting and devouring. It says in Galatians, see to it you don't bite and devour lest you be consumed by one another. I can eat you up with my mouth. I can't believe so-and-so did that. That you didn't say it, but you wanted to say, stupid! You didn't call anybody stupid, but you might under your breath. And so when I repented of that, eating people up with my mouth, I was sharing earlier, I weighed the same, but I went down 3 dress sizes because I was eating people up in the spirit. And you've done it too. Fear can swallow you up. Where it says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, which means drink down, gulp down, and swallow up. If you grew up with raging parents or angry people, you were swallowed up by their anger. Sometimes when you grow up under control, you check out emotionally. It's a coping mechanism. It's like you just disconnect. Y'all hearing me? Okay, and then, you know, fear, if we live in a fight or flight mode all the time, everything's fight or flight, it can destroy your immune system. Your body is made in such a way that when you're in a stressful situation, your body produces hormones and adrenaline and produces cortisol as one of them, these are good things in a fight or flight situation. And they help you. But if every day you're living in fear and your body's pouring in chemicals and hormones and neurotransmitters and pouring in all kinds of adrenaline and cortisol, it'll destroy your immune system. I have a list of things here, and I'm not going to name them, but any autoimmune disease is rooted in fear. You can just see here, just see a few diseases that are caused by fear, just page after page. In fact, to get a list, pull up on the internet. I'll look up autoimmune diseases and get your list because it's rooted in fear. God hasn't given us a spirit of fear. You know, a lot of times we can go to the doctor and he'll say, well, I can't find anything wrong with you, just stress related. If you're not living on God's potter's wheel, yielded to Him, you're living in stress. And the Bible talks about a cry of distress, which is stress. When I'm dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, I'm abiding under His shadow and protection. If I'm outside of God's refuge, I'm living out in the area, in the realm of distress. Some of us didn't grow up under God's refuge because we didn't have mom and dad to cover us. Many of us, if you picture Psalms 91 like an umbrella, most of us grew up outside of that umbrella, out in the realm, out in Satan's realm, which is the realm of fear. So we've got to get back into God's refuge, a place of peace by coming under His yoke, which is a picture of submission to His lordship. He says he'll keep you in perfect peace when your mind is stayed upon him because you're trusting in him. Any place you're trusting a false god, you got to get people to love you. You got your idol is relationships, your idol is children, your idol is food, your idol is money, your idol is this. It just keeps you in a state of unrest. And God says, come unto me. I know what you need. I know who you need. I know what you need. I know when to give it to you when you need it. You're my child and I love you. So stand up and let's ask God to deal with the fear in our lives. Fear is not acceptable, neither is anger. That's a surefire indice. You know, if you're hot-tempered, you're full of demons. Because every place that pushes your button is linked to an idol. And God's not pleased. It's not acceptable to be angry. In fact, God says if that's your habit or your custom, it says in Galatians 5:19-20 or 21, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. And it's not a one-time anger. It is a habit, a lifestyle. How many of you, you may be that person that anything you say to somebody, they get mad about it. That's hot temper. A hot-tempered man abounds in transgressions, the word says. So, anger's not acceptable. Depression's not acceptable. Hurt's not acceptable. Fear's not acceptable. All these toxic, negative emotions are not acceptable. They're all rooted in idolatry. So these are the things that you and I have to overcome. So next time you have a difficult person, say, okay, God, you have this person in my life to teach me what you want me to learn. And learn it, and then he'll give you a little peace before he shows you something else. It's a lifestyle of repentance. And we should be changing from glory to glory to glory. And so, Lord, search my heart. Test my thoughts. Show me everything, Lord. That pushes my button, that rains on my parade, that makes me afraid, makes me angry. Lord, it's all idolatry. And I ask you to show me what I need to repent of today so I can get rid of a spirit of fear. You can have... let me share this. I missed this one. But it says if your sons of God are led by the Spirit of God in Romans 8:13, it says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you've received a spirit whereby you cry out, Abba, Father. So you're either being led by the Spirit of God through wearing the yoke of Jesus, or you have a yoke of slavery that causes your life. It's like fear is over your life. You can have fear over your life because you've got the wrong yoke on your neck. And wherever you get your button pushed, you've got fear. There can be hundreds of thousands of fears that you have. You know, at this moment, I'm not aware of one fear in my life because I've dealt with this. But that doesn't mean I don't have any more. It just means that today I've dealt with everything God's shown me. And tomorrow he may show me something that I'm afraid of. And like I said, we're living in a world that is just nothing. The devil just wants to keep us paralyzed through fear. So, Lord, I need to know what I need to know today. Lord, I want to repent because I want fear out of my life. What do you want to teach me, Lord? And then just repent, confess your sins to God. Forgive your parents. If you were the child that grew up with intimidating, angry, raging parents, if you grew up and your daddy wasn't safe, he was somebody that molested you or threw you away or gave you away, gave you to ruffians. If you were given away to a home that just sexually abused you, you're bound up in fear. And it's understandable. But when you forgive, it's broken. The devil holds us through unforgiveness. So deal with whatever the Lord shows you and then sit down and we'll do group deliverance. If you have an autoimmune disease, then ask God to show you the fear behind it. What are you afraid of? If you live in stress, what are you afraid of? If you don't have peace, where is your eyes not fixed on Jesus? Lord, I forgive my forefathers for all their occult involvement. Oh, sister, honey, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Take your time. I didn't see you standing up. Go ahead. Just take your time. Forgive me. I want everybody to repent. Lord, I forgive my forefathers for occult involvement. I renounce Satan, Freemasons, in every shape, form, or fashion, and all like organizations. I forgive my forefathers for making satanic covenants of death, and breaking your covenant. And Lord, I've broke your covenant. And Lord, I break satanic vows, oaths, and covenants to the Masons and every organization like the Masons, sororities and fraternities, Satanism. I break satanic vows, oaths, and covenants of witchcraft in the name of Jesus. I break satanic vows, oaths, and covenants that they go on the firstborn male. And if there's no firstborn male, they go on the firstborn female. I renounce their rituals in the name of Jesus. I break covenants of death in the name of Jesus. I break satanic vows, oaths, and covenants that were spoken over me and my descendants that I can never defect from Satanism. And if I do, it'll be met with poverty, calamity, sickness, death, and destruction. And Father, I make a new covenant with you today to be your holy bride. In the name of Jesus, that breaks all former covenants. Forgive me for walking in disobedience and not obeying your word. Forgive me for not reading your word and meditating on your word and obeying your word. I ask you to forgive me, Lord, for anger, rage, fear, depression, being hurt, wanting to blame other people, and not seeing that the difficult people in my life are there to get me changed. Thank you for sanctifying me. Lord, I forgive my children for everything they're doing that I used to do. Sometimes we want our children to change, and they're doing the same things we did, and we haven't asked God to forgive us. So, Lord, forgive me for everything that I have done that's been like my wayward children, if they're wayward, in the name of Jesus. Lord, forgive me for the sin of fear, idolatry, letting these demons of fear stay in me. I forgive my mother and father that I grew up outside of your refuge, just out there in the realm of fear. Lord, I forgive my parents that they were not obeying you to keep me safe. I forgive my parents, my mother and father, for not being safe, for not having a safe, a secure environment for me. Forgive me for not having a safe, secure environment for my children. I forgive my mother and father for living in fear, being worrywarts, worrying, being hysterical, panicked, paralyzed. Lord, forgive me for idolatry. God, would you please forgive me for the fear that brings torment to my life? I want you to think about everything you're fearing. And I want you to, while you're sitting, I want you to take that all of those fears up the mountain and give it to God like Abraham did Isaac, and stand up when you're through. Take all your idols up the mountain, everything that makes you afraid. And don't do that if you don't, you know, if that's not in your heart, it wouldn't do any good. But I can tell you, it will disarm fear. And if you can do that, stand up after you do it. And if you can't, raise your hand. It's no condemnation. If you can't and don't mean it and are through, you can just raise your hand and then I'll just move on. Lord, I sacrifice these things to you. And I present my body to you, Lord, as a living sacrifice. And I thank you that you're the potter and I'm the clay and I'm in your hands and you know what I need. You love my children and my mate more than I do. you know what I need. And so I'm in your hands. And I tell you, devil, that you cannot touch me unless it would bring greater honor and glory to God. And that's what I'm living for. In Jesus' name, you can sit down. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for fear that's caused heart trouble, that's caused asthma and autoimmune diseases. Forgive me for fearing man that's brought a snare, giving off aroma of death when I'm supposed to be a sweet aroma. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I give up my life to you. Forgive me for breaking covenant with you. I forgive my forefathers. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses of breaking covenant with you. Lord, I ask you to take off every yoke off my neck. Break the yoke of iron off my neck. I forgive people for controlling me. Forgive me for controlling others. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me for disobedience to your voice and your commandments that would cause me to have a yoke of iron on my neck. Now, Lord, I take the sword of the Spirit and I break that yoke of iron off their necks in Jesus' name. And I want you to lift your hands. And Lord, I ask you to give them the yoke of heaven. Lord, they submit to you. Let me show you something about when you hold your hands. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to yoke their neck with the yoke of heaven as they've submitted to your lordship. I ask you, Lord, to come down from heaven and bring down your yoke on their neck that will break off every other yoke. And I thank you and praise you, Lord. Praise you. Thank you for this light and easy yoke. Thank you that they'll learn from you. Thank you that they'll be like their teacher. Lord, thank you that they'll enter your rest in every area. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You said, come unto me. And Lord, they come unto you. Thank you. I break the power of fear of man over them in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I break every curse in Jesus' name that has opened them up to fear, that the sound of a leaf, a driven leaf, would make them run when nobody's chasing them. I command that running spirit to go. I command heart attacks, heart failure. I command you to go. Asthma, I break your power. Name out whatever autoimmune disease you have and tell it to go. Arthritis, scarlatoma, go. Addison's disease, leave in the name of Jesus. Diabetes, go in the name of Jesus. Arthritis has to leave. Blood problems, anemia has to go. Celiac disease, irritable bowel syndrome has to go in the name of Jesus. You leave in the Jesus name. Skin problems have to go. Cancer has to leave in the name of Jesus. Okay, I want to break soul ties. I break soul ties with my mother, father, and forefathers. Call back my soul and spirit from them. Send back their souls and spirits to them. Exchange their image for the image of Christ. And Lord, the spirit of fear that's come down on me generationally, I ask you to start with Adam and Eve. And let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in my life through the fear of my forefathers. Perversion, autoimmune diseases has to go in Jesus' name. I command the spirit of fear, let them go, spit them out. I break your power, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, fretting in Jesus' name has to go in the name of Jesus. You know, because I've not seen myself, because I grew up with a safe daddy, always feeling protected, I didn't see the fear in my life. But God showed me that I had been a fretter. I always wanted to do everything right. And without realizing it, I was fretting over doing things right. And see, God says, hey, I'm able to lead you and guide you. Fretting leads to evil doing, the Bible says, and evildoers will be cut off. So, Lord, forgive me. That was one of the roots to eye problems. So all fear, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness, paralysis, heart attacks, heart failure has to go in Jesus' name. We break your power in the name of Jesus. Praise you, mighty God. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.